Would y'all at home and everybody around me, please pray with me, please. Father God, we just come to this place where we just sit before you. Lord, we are in times where it's so easy to take our eyes off you. It's so easy to look at what everybody else is doing and perhaps look at what we're being told and look at that apart from you. Let that not be so. Let not the fact that this is Palm Sunday go by us. Let us fully engage the realization that so many years ago, Jesus, you rode into Jerusalem and you began a week that would end with you redeeming sinners by your death. You knew that was how it was. You knew that was the plan. You knew how that was going to roll out, and yet you faced death anyway. Scripture talks about how you were cloaked with passion. That's what drove you into that city. And so, Lord, we just pray that we would, as your people, have that same passion. That, Lord, we would not be afraid of what lies before us. That we would not be anxious. But we would stand firm in times of trouble. So strengthen us, Lord. Holy Spirit, put us on firm ground. Secure our foundation. And help us to be what you have called us to be, your people. I pray this all in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, hello, everybody. As you can see, I'm wearing my Palm Sunday shirt. In our podcast, it was brought up. I hope you don't lose me. I hope I don't blend in to the things on the stage. Decided to wear the shirt. It's Palm Sunday. And so it's the only shirt I have with palm trees on it. So I thought it would be fun. Now, something to remember, as I was preparing for the message this week, there's a couple things that I want to talk about before we get into the thick of things. Number one, I feel like spiritually something shifted this week, and not in a good way. I feel like we're in this process where things are starting to intensify, but I feel like part of it is spiritual as much as anything else. And I guess I say that as a warning to people. I think that there's a possibility, I really truly believe in the name of the Lord, that there's a possibility if we are not careful, if we're not disciplined, and if we don't have on our armor, I think there's a possibility that we can get swept up in what the enemy of God is doing right now. And so I want to just urge you, and that's where we're going to go today. I want to start by just covering what Jesus did. It is Palm Sunday, and the whole idea of Palm Sunday is that we focus on Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Now, the typical fanfare that goes with this message is that the people that were cheering on Jesus thought he was going to usher in a worldly kingdom. But that was not the case. They didn't understand that he came in to usher in a spiritual kingdom. And they didn't understand that he rode into Jerusalem to create a way for salvation, for sinners to be saved, and to give people eternal life. They didn't understand that, and by the end of the week, many of them were disenchanted, and there were probably a few that were shouting Hosanna when he entered into Jerusalem, that on that following Friday, they were yelling, crucify him. And so, this is kind of the nature of our world, and I want to read for you just real quick the text, Matthew 21, I'm going to go 1 through 11. I'm just going to read this for you, and it's going to set a tone for where we're going here this morning. So Matthew 21, starting with verse 1, as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you'll see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him, threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So here's this beautiful picture in the book of Matthew of Jesus riding in to Jerusalem. Now, it was the beginning of Passover, which is kind of a fascinating. There's so many places I wanted to go this week. I wanted to even maybe do a lesson on Passover and how before the Exodus, God's people were in quarantine as the angel of death flew over. Maybe that's a message for another time. Who knows how long this will last. The message that I wanted to talk about is I wanted to talk about the invisible enemy that's out there, and I'm not talking about the coronavirus. I'm talking about Satan and what he's trying to do right now in the midst of all of this that's going on. And I think we as the people of God have to know what the deal is. Now, again, I'll tell you, can you just imagine Satan himself watching this scene of Jesus entering in to Jerusalem? I don't know what he was thinking. I wouldn't even presume to try to guess what he was thinking. But maybe, just maybe, there was a scheme being hatched to try to get people to change their tune. I just feel like that's starting to happen in our culture. I feel like the people of God, I think that there are people right now that are starting to people of God that are starting to look like people who don't know God. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we are not swept up in everything else that's going on. Can I just get real for all of you for a second? I want to lay this out for you. Just an observation. We have now been in this for a month. People have been afraid. They have been anxious for a month. If you have heard me speak before about fear and anxiety, let me tell you what comes after a prolonged season of anxiety. It's depression. It's discouragement. And I want to just say that if you think that Satan is sitting this one out, you're kidding yourself. This is a prime opportunity to get people discouraged and to get people to forget what it means to be a follower of Christ. And if you're watching this and you don't know Jesus, stay in here because before this is over, I'm going to invite you or I'm going to tell you how it is that you can change your life and live a life with Jesus. So stay with me here. But for the people of God, we have this beautiful picture of Jesus walking in or riding into Jerusalem. What must he have been thinking? Again, I don't know what Jesus was thinking. But I'm sure there's probably a piece of this that maybe he was thinking about Friday. And maybe, just maybe, he knew how he was going to change the world that week, and he kept his mind on the task as he went in there. I want to kind of jump ahead, and I want to talk about equipping us in hard times. And to do that, I want to take you to Ephesians. So in Ephesians 6, and we've been talking about scriptures and how they have different meaning now than they did a month ago. And this one, there's no different. I want to talk about what does it mean to have on the armor of God. Now, before we begin this, one thing, the armor of God is not something to be meant to be put on when things get tough. The armor of God, as Paul describes it, is something we are to wear all the time because we're constantly at war. So here it is. So let's go there. Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10, Paul says a final word. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil, the schemes, the plans. Please bear in mind that the number one thing that Satan wants to do to you is get you discouraged, get you to lose hope, get you to live in fear, and take your eyes off Jesus. Number one objective. What you're going to see here about the armor of God is that the only thing that really he can do to a believer is to get you to not wear it. And right now, there's a lot of people that don't have their armor on. It's time to gear up, folks. And here it is. Let's go. Verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. We are in a biological situation. And we have scientists, we have doctors, we have nurses, we have emergency responders, and they are dealing with the physical, biological issue of the coronavirus. But if you think there isn't a spiritual component to this, we're kidding ourselves. Now, I can't control the biological. I can't control my body. I can't control what happens to my body, but I can control what happens to my soul. I can submit my soul to the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you right now, I don't have control over my body. I don't have control over my soul, but I know that God has my soul, no matter what happens. And that's comforting. We are not fighting against people. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting spiritual enemies, and they are at work right now. You see videos of people freaking out in stores and doing all the things that they're doing. People are now, they're starting to turn others in for hanging out together. It's like people are they're sequestered in their homes and they're starting to attack people. They're like turning in their neighbors. They're talking about things that are going on. We're just in this place. Everybody's turning on each other. For a while there was some unity politically, but now, boy, that's starting to come out as well. The press is working overtime to try to stir up all the dissension and everything that's going on. Don't fall for it. Don't get swept up in it. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, mighty powers in this dark world, and evil spirits in the heavenly places. Bear in mind, I really truly think that we are moving to a tipping point where if we're not careful, the spiritual enemy is going to be far more of a danger than the physical enemy. I really believe that. There's no doubt, physical enemy is a real enemy. It's a real issue. But what's the residual? What's the effect spiritually of all the things that are going on? Verse 13, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. It talks about standing firm in God's power against the strategies, resisting the enemy. It's this idea of standing your ground. Too many people are running or they're moving in ways they shouldn't. Now is the time to kind of hold your ground, dig in, so to speak. says that stand your ground, putting on, first of all, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Couple of what Paul does is he's using a soldier, and he's going working his way through the soldier, and he's pointing out pieces of armor, and he's taking a piece of armor and he's equating it with a virtue in Christ. And the first virtue, standing your ground, you need to put on the belt of truth. Too many people are repeating gossip and rumors right now. You need to put on the belt of truth. What does the belt of truth do? So picture the uniform of a Roman soldier would be a tunic, which kind of was like a little like a skirt, just kind of how it works. Anyway, so when they would go into battle, the first thing they do is they would take their tunics and they would wrap them and tuck them into their belts. So it's tucking in all of the loose ends. Otherwise, you could get tangled, you could get tripped up, or the enemy could grab a hold of you in such a way. So it's like this idea, when you think of putting on the belt of truth, you have to be thinking about pulling in the loose ends, and everything that hinders must be tucked away. And what that does is it gives you agility and gives you speed of movement. So now's the time, rather than looking at everybody else, how about you embrace the truth about yourself and tie up your loose ends? Now's the time where it's like, you know what? Don't go beating yourself down. Just have a truthful look. Where do I need to tie in my loose ends? Where are they at? If you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling fearful or even angry, or you're out there accusing others or doing all these things with other people, why don't you just work on yourself? Tuck everything in there. That's the belt of truth. Again, everything that hinders must be tucked away. No loose ends. This also talks about discipline. Now is not the time to throw. You want to be disciplined right now in the ways that you live your life. Now is not the time to be undisciplined. Now is not the time to revert to old past behavior, which was that maybe you've been delivered from. Now is not the time to fall into past addictions or to give into new things that have no part of your life. Now is the time to be disciplined. Had a conversation with somebody the other day, and they were just kind of in that place. And the reason why they were in this place of discouragement is because they had made some decisions that were undisciplined. And I said to him, I said, okay, that was a bad deal. Now let's move on. Let's recommit to discipline. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off. Let's get back in the game and let's get back to discipline. If you're out there listening right now and maybe over the past several weeks you've let some things into your life that, you know, a month ago or a month and a half ago you knew was not a good idea, get back to discipline. Get that belt of truth girded up. Get ready to move. Get ready for action. So that's the belt of truth. The second one was the body armor of righteousness, or the breastplate of righteousness, as many of us are used to hearing this in a different translation. But the one thing you have to know about the body armor of righteousness is it protects the vital organs, especially the heart. Now, what I want to say here, obviously we as followers of Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit, we are pursuing righteousness, but it's really not our, it's not our righteousness that we put on. It's Christ's. We put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's imputed onto us. As we think about the gospel itself, when we think about the sacrifice on the cross, Jesus took our place on the cross. Our sins were imputed onto Jesus, his righteousness imputed onto us as we put our faith in him. Put that on. It protects your heart. It also talks about giving your heart to Jesus. If you're watching this and you don't know the Lord, I can break it down very simple to you what it looks like to be saved. Is you fall in love with Jesus. The Jesus, the Jesus in the Bible, the truth Jesus. There's something about him that you are drawn to, and he becomes alive to you, and you love him. It's not some religion. It's not some philosophy. It's not some set of rules that you follow and you think you're going to tap into some secret power. It's a living relationship. It's dynamic. It's real. As you evaluate your heart, what's your heart in love with? Somewhere in there, if you are a follower of Christ, your heart is in love with Jesus, and his righteousness protects your heart. You need to have that on right now, the body armor of righteousness. Go back to our text. It says that, again, stand on, we talked about the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteous. The next is the shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. They had basically boots with nails in the bottom of it, and they would dig in and they couldn't be pushed backwards. I think about cleats. I think about, you know, football cleats back in the day. You know, I think about games where it'd be raining before every field had artificial turf, and we would have special cleats for the rainy nights. And the idea was is that you couldn't be pushed back. And Paul uses this as an example, and he refers to the shoes as peace. I think about this beautiful image that he has here as he describes the armor. He constantly talks about, you know, standing your ground. And so the key to standing your ground is peace. The peace that comes from the good news, the gospel itself. Well, here we are in the middle of the Lent season. The gospel is so evident. It's so it's everywhere in the Lent season as we look at Jesus's death on the cross. He died to save us. If you're watching this again, you don't know Jesus, what are you going to do about your sin issue? You know how I know that you have sin? Because we all do. If God is a holy, perfect God, and you today stood before him, what are you going to do about your sin? I'm going to tell you that Jesus dealt with it. The reason why I love Jesus is because he died on the cross for our sins. And he set us free. That's the good news. The good news is that this is not the final destination for me. This is a temporary layover. And while I'm here, I am serving the Lord. But someday, I'm going to my final destination. Forever. Forever. I don't know how soon that's going to happen. God does. It's not going to happen against his plan. It's not going to happen without his involvement. It all works out according to his plan. I have peace at that. Do you? One theologian said that one of the things that gives us the most peace is knowing that the gap between us and God has been dealt with, the way has been made, and now not only are we no longer enemies with God, God is actually on our side. He's actually for you. And I think to myself, you know, here I am just a human being, slightly larger than the average human being, I guess you could say. But, I think to myself of what I would do if somebody messed with somebody that I love. I don't really know at this point what I would do. But I'll tell you this, I'd give everything that I have for them. Well, imagine God being that other person. If you think that God is missing right now, I just want to say it's because you've taken your eyes off him. He's not missing. And not only is he not missing, but he is for you. Because he loves you. And that is peace. Oh. Psalm 139, all of my days were ordained before any one of them came to be. Not a hair on my head can come to harm without God's permission. I am in this place where, you know, that doesn't mean I can't die. We're all going to die. But it does mean that God has got me and he's got you. And that should bring peace. Tremendous peace. It says to put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. They are going to come at you. These are temptations from the enemy. These are little darts to demoralize you. These are flaming arrows that are coming at you. When you think about this shield, it's this shield that literally covers your whole body. And you can actually, as the arrows come, you could take shelter behind this shield. That shield is faith. How's your faith these days? A lot of arrows getting shot right now, aren't there? You need to have this shield of faith. It protects you against temptation. Be wary of temptation. The next one is 17, put on salvation as your helmet. And then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want to focus on the helmet just for a little bit because, you know, as you think about this, Paul is talking to believers. And, you know, if you don't understand what he's saying, what does that mean? Put on the helmet of salvation. Shouldn't you already be saved as a believer? And the answer is yes, but the idea of the helmet of salvation is you need to protect your mind with salvation. So the key to not, getting discouraged, the key to not losing it during this time is this idea of this helmet that protects your mind. Now remember, the biggest battle on earth is between your ears. None of that has changed. We think, okay, so we have an enemy over here called the coronavirus, but we fail to realize that the biggest enemy and the biggest threat to our lives is still between our ears. And so we're focused over here and we're completely neglecting what's going on in here. Do you think the enemy is neglecting that? You think that Satan is saying, oh, well, they're distracted right now. I'll just wait till they're ready to pay attention. So we're all focused something over here. The enemy is focused right here. And unfortunately, because we're neglecting what's most important, he's gaining traction. And the way that you stop it all is you go back and you put on this helmet of salvation. You are in the hands of God, and you are saved forever. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. That is the helmet of salvation. It protects your head, your mind, and it keeps away doubt and discouragement. Paul has this beautiful. I wanted to read this for you. I want to read for you the text that I have in 2 Corinthians 4. And let me turn to that a second. So 2 Corinthians 4, starting with verse 8. And this is what Paul says, and tell me if you resonate with this. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? The beautiful picture is us all being reunited again someday. But even better, being reunited in heaven. A beautiful picture. All this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. That's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. I want to say that again. Our present troubles are small and won't last very long. It's already been a month. There will come a day when this is in the rearview mirror. Now, if you're still on earth, it'll still be in the rearview mirror. If you're in heaven, it'll be in the rearview mirror. This will someday be in the rearview mirror, and it'll be way behind us. Yet, they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them. Our present troubles vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. I was struck by the fact that I'm living in a time. I always felt like, okay, so I get to heaven someday, and I stand before, I don't know, Peter. And I'm hanging out with Peter in heaven, and we get to talking. And we get to talking about what was the hardest moment while we were on earth. And maybe there's something yet to be determined in my life. But, you know, for the most part, it's been a pretty easy life. But now I can sit here and talk about quarantine. I can talk about the effect that it's having on people and how in the name of the Lord, I felt to stand up and stand my ground. Put on my full armor as more than I ever have before, and in the name of Jesus, love and help people. This is a monumental event that it's changed. It's changed things. And what you want to do is when you emerge from this, you do not want to be a person who helped make it worse. Because that's not what God's doing. When this is over, you want to be a person who, in the name of Jesus, battled the invisible enemy. And you stood your ground. And you stood firm. You kept your armor on. And you never lost faith. That's who you want to be. You want to be that person. Now, I would tell you that if you have done that, it's okay. Today is a new day. Today is a new day. It's about returning to Christ. It's about putting that armor on, about securing that helmet over your head. reminding yourself that God has you. I want to also take you to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Jump ahead to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. All my pages are sticking together here. Starting with verse 1. And I want you to listen to these words of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. Now concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin. I'm not saying that the return of Christ is imminent, even though it could be. The point is that you're prepared. And it says, and there will be no escape. So describing this picture, everything is peaceful and secure. Then disaster falls, and there's no escape. If this isn't something along those lines, it's a good test run for when it does happen, if it happens in our lifetime. Verse 4, but you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. We belong to light. Verse 6, so be on your guard, not asleep like the others. I just want to say something with a little bit of love, but also conviction. There are a lot of us that were asleep. And it's like we feel like we've been woken up. And there's this disorientation, just like anything else. It's like me when I get up in the morning. Sometimes, you know, there's a lot of disorientation. I don't really know where I'm at. I think that's where we've been for the last month, some of us. Stay alert and clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that, whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. That's the helmet of salvation. I can't lose. You can't lose. You can endure a period of suffering, but eventually that'll end. And you will receive the gift of salvation forever. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. It says, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you're already doing. You see, I think that the helmet of salvation is the key to victory. Can you imagine being engaged in a conflict that you know you can't lose? If doubt and despair and discouragement can get in there, can penetrate your helmet, can mess with your mind, then you will run away. You won't stand your ground, which will lead to discouragement, even more so than is already present. Stand your ground. You can't lose. You can't lose. Powerful words that God gives us. I want to read for you because I don't think we necessarily focus when we talk about victory. So in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, there's these letters to the churches of Revelation. And Jesus, he writes to all these different churches, but at the end, he gives this encouragement, and he talks about if you're victorious, And it's a reminder of what the prize that awaits us, the victorious ones, those who stand firm, that keep the faith, those that you know, as we put on this helmet of salvation, the motivating factor in our lives. And I just want to read these for you, just the encouragements from Jesus. I'm just going to read through them, straight through. I'm going to start in chapter 2. And then I'm going to read, I'm going to start with the encouragement, and then I'm just going to read through every single church. And if you've got your Bibles, you can go to the end of each letter, and he has this encouragement. And I'm just going to read them straight through. So listen, he talks about, to everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that's been hidden away in heaven, and I will give to each one a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. To all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, to them I will give authority over the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Boy, that one gets me. They belong to me. Here's a world that's losing its mind, and people are despairing, and they're discouraged, and Satan is having a heyday, and there is Jesus saying, they're mine. That's a powerful notion. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it, and I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God, and I will also write on them my new name. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. That's a lot of encouragement. You know, I get emotional, and I'll tell you exactly why, because I know there's a lot of you that are hurting, and this is just such an encouraging word from the Spirit. I can feel it. I can feel it. When I feel the Holy Spirit, I get emotional. That's a powerful picture that you need to see, because you know what? We're probably only about halfway through this thing. I mean, just being honest. It's time to gear up. It's time to suit up. If you're not suited up, you have to be. You have to have on this shield of salvation. It's vitally important. You got to have on all the armor. Now's not the time to only put part of it on. But I'm betting there's a few of us that don't have on the helmet of salvation. And we need to get it on because it's important. Go back to our text in Ephesians. And we go back to the last one. The only offensive piece of the armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I've got a visual here, and I just thought I'd use it. And for the kids that are watching, if they're still watching, just hold on. I'll be right back. Oh, you're following me. Okay. When I think of the sword of the Spirit, I think lightsaber. It's light, and it's a sword. This is the Word of God, and it just slices through everything. You know, I think, obviously it's not real, but in my mind it could be. But it's this idea. This is the Word of God. This is your offensive weapon. Are you using it right now? It's powerful. Start your morning each morning in the Word of God. Do all the things that we talk about, whether it be the Abide app or whatever it is. Maybe you have a devotional of some kind. We're in Holy Week. Read what happens to Jesus from the time that he enters into Jerusalem until the time that he goes to the cross all the way to Easter Sunday. This is a powerful week. It's all about resurrection, Jesus triumphing over death, him triumphing over sin, and setting the captives free. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He goes on to say, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. Paul, as he's writing this in verse 20, I'm in chains now. He was in prison, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. I can feel you praying for me. And I know the other leaders in the church can feel you praying for them. And I hope you can feel us praying for you, because we are. We're praying for each other. This week, I'm going to be praying that you are so armored up that the enemy can't touch you. I'm going to be praying that you have all the peace, that you have all the truth, all the righteousness, all the salvation, and all the Spirit, the Word of God that you can handle. And I'm going to end by reading for you. I told you every week we're going to read from the Psalms. I'm going to give you a psalm. So maybe this is something that you can reflect on as well as you think about this, the Word of God, the sword and the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But I'm going to read from Psalm 118. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2, and then I'm going to jump to 19 through 29. So here's the Word of the Lord. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let all Israel repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Open for me the gates where the righteous enter, and I will go in and thank the Lord. These gates lead to the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there. I thank you for answering my prayer and giving me victory. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it's wonderful to see. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God shining upon us. Take the sacrifice and bind it with cords on the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father God, I thank you so much for your love. I thank you for the power and the strength that you give us. Lord, I just pray for everybody that's watching right now, Lord. I pray that they would be encouraged, that Holy Spirit, you would strengthen them. And Lord, I pray for the people right now that are coming to you, the people whose hearts are being made new. If you are watching right now and listening to this, if you are ready to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you just cry out to him right now, wherever you're at? I don't care if there's family sitting around you. I don't care what the circumstances are. Cry out to Jesus. Invite him into your life. Tell him, Lord, I want to dwell in your house forever. Say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've made mistakes. And I know that I will continue to make mistakes. I want you in my life. I want you to be with me every day. I want you to help me, strengthen me, and guide me to the person that I was meant to be. Lord, as the world loses its mind, help me to have a life that's built on you. Lord, help me have an eternity and a future that is built on you. Lord, let me not lose sight of what the truth is in you. Especially as we see you march into Jerusalem, as we see you ride into Jerusalem, and we see what you did this week and how you changed the world. Let us not be so distracted that that just goes by with no meaning. Let us take back the territory that we have given to the enemy. Let us take it back. In your name, Jesus. We put on your helmet of salvation. We protect our minds and our brains, and we give them to you, Lord. We allow the Holy Spirit to change the way we think, not the world, not the enemy. Lord Jesus, we look to you. We're in that part of the race right now where we're ready for a second wind. We are ready to get that burst of energy that comes at that point in the race where everything in you is saying, you know what, it's time to drop out, it's time to get out, and we need that burst of energy that says, you know what, I'm going to do this. I can make it. I'm going to get to the end of this. I'm starting to see the finish line. It's a lot closer now than it was a month ago. We're going to make it. And I pray for everybody that's listening. I love all of you, and I just lift you up, and I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we begin Holy Week. So many things that Jesus did this week as he continued further and further towards the cross, which eventually obviously became the greatest moment in the world when he was resurrected. I want to encourage you. We talked about we're going to do corporate communion next Sunday. And I wanted to let you know that, you know, you can go out and you can buy bread and juice or wine if that's what you want. I'm not going to judge. It's in the, you know, if you drink before noon, that's between you and the Lord if you do it for communion. But I will tell you that we also have these, if you're a person that struggles to get out or might have a hard week getting out, we have these sealed individual communion cups that has a wafer and the juice in it, and we'll be giving those out this week as well. Watch for communication. We're going to let you know how we're going to do it, when we're going to do it, so stay tuned for that. I know that, again, Jesse's going to be putting some packages together for all you parents and their kids. It's a big week. Obviously, we'll be back again Friday night for a Good Friday service. And then Sunday morning, as we celebrate Easter, don't get discouraged. Be aware that you have an enemy that's trying to get you to forget who you are in Christ. Don't do it. You can't lose. You're victorious. You need to live like it. I want to bless you now as you're sitting there at home. I want to pronounce the benediction over you, and I just pray that you receive this. If you want to stand at home, please do, and receive this blessing. I pray that you know the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ the Son, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit now and always. God bless you. Have a good day, a good week. Stand firm. Be strong. Love you.